So glad you guys came today. My section is walking in wisdom, and I'm just going to go right into it. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. And I'm a simple person, so I'm going to stay simply in that verse, but then go all over the Bible. So that's our verse. So the word therefore is used to signal a conclusion, a logical result based on what came before, right? Now that we've studied about walking in light and walking in love, we're ready for the logical conclusion or the result. Therefore, walk, be careful how you walk. Is this command literal? Watch where you're going. Look both ways before you cross the street. Watch for the rocks on the ground so you don't sprain your ankle. Right? No, I understand this to mean be careful how I live my life. Be careful in what I do every day. Be careful in what I say every day. And be careful what I think every day. The next few words explain how to walk. Wise or unwise. Old man, new man, it's all awesome together. There are two choices. Let's think about walking on a balance beam. Fun times, right? An unwise person may get up on the balance beam. He's going to have his eyes blindfolded, and he's going to have his hands behind his back, right? How's he going to do? Walking on a balance beam. He's going to fall over and over and over again because he's not paying attention. If a wise person gets on the balance beam, what are they going to do? They're going to open their eyes. They're going to look at the balance beam. They're going to use their body to balance themselves so they don't fall. Are they going to fall? Yeah, they're going to fall. But not as much as the guy who's blindfolded, right? So the wise person is going to watch where they're going and pay attention to what's going on. Now the phrase, making the most of your time, suggests that we not waste our time during our walk through life. We are commanded to make the most of every opportunity, actively, with determination, use our time. It's not just about managing our calendar, right? It's watching for God-given opportunities to glorify Him in our life and live happily. So, why? Why should we make the most of our time? The next phrase. Because the days are evil. If we do not live intentionally and make the most of our time, we are naturally going to be pulled away to foolishness or even indifference. So therefore, be careful how you walk. So today, right now, we're going to walk in wisdom. That's our topic. Before we talk about wisdom, or walking in wisdom, we probably should define the word. Here we go. There are lots of definitions for wisdom. This one stuck on me. Wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge and then doing it. Let that sink in. Knowing what to do with knowledge and then doing it. Y'all want to say it with me? Ready, go. Wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge and then doing it. Very good. I knew y'all would take part. So where does wisdom come from? I suggest that wisdom comes from knowing God's word. In order to receive the gift of wisdom, I have to first know God's word. It's not just enough to own a Bible and have it sitting on the kitchen counter or even in your hands right now, unopened, unlooked at. Many people read the Bible, right? Lots of people have Bibles in their house, and they read it sometimes. The Bible is a gift from God, but it's not the cover or the binding that holds the pages together. The gift is what's written inside these pages. Think of it like this. There's a big package up there with a big red bow on it. I know y'all are wondering what that was. Well, this is just the covering and the binding. The gift is inside. Imagine. The gift is a bicycle inside that box, right? obviously it's not put together, right? And it's a lot heavier than it really is. But imagine there's a bicycle in that box. When we open this box, what do we have to do? Give me a couple things we gotta do. Open the box, there's a bicycle in there. What do we do? You gotta find the instructions. What else? You gotta read the instructions. You gotta build the bike. What about making sure all the parts are there? Sometimes they don't put all the parts in there, right? There's a lot of stuff to do. That's a great gift. Thank you so much for a bicycle. Thank you. But you've got to do something with it before you can ride it. All right. I think wisdom is the same. The gift has been given. The Bible. God's word. The gift of wisdom requires effort on our part. We have to open it. We have to read the instructions. And not just kind of look at them real quick. Study the instructions and then do something. Wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge and then doing it. All right, here are a couple of pieces of wisdom just to get us started. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." I believe this is referring to respect, not just being scared of God, right? Respecting God as our creator and king is only the beginning. There's so much more. But you got to start somewhere. You got to believe in God and understand him. Here's another one. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. God owns wisdom. It belongs to him. He is the only true source of wisdom. So if we want to walk carefully through this life, we need to use his book. So walking through life, it's kind of like hiking. You may be wondering why I say this. For those of you that do not know, David and I love to go hiking in the mountains. Some of the hikes are really easy. You just go whoop, walk along this path. Sometimes you can even look around as you're walking. Like, oh, that's beautiful. That's great. But then sometimes it's scary and treacherous. You have to look at every single step you take. On our last hike in December, we were hiking a very easy trail. There was no real danger like falling off a cliff or running into a bear, as I may have told you happened. But it was just, we had to climb over a few rocks, but we just were walking on this flat ground, lots of sand, beautiful little rocks coming up out of the sandy soil. Wisdom would say, walk carefully, even on the easy trails, because if you don't, you could end up in the ER with 2 injured feet. That was me. Woohoo! Walking on the easiest trail of my life. And all I had to do was just not look and step, and there I go. So now back to God's wisdom. Here's a stupid question. Where in our lives will wisdom help us? One word. Everywhere, thank you. Even on the hard trails and the easy trails. All right, I'm going to need some participation now. Just for a minute, I'm going to put up on the screen some areas in our lives where we need God's wisdom. When the word pops up on the screen, I need you all to think of a verse in the Bible. You don't have to, I just want you to say what the verse says. You don't have to quote it. You don't have to tell me where it is. Just tell me what the Bible says about that specific area or word that I'm going to put up there. This should take just a couple of minutes. We will not be discussing the verses. Just say the wisdom and move on. Anybody, what does the Bible say about marriage? Become one? Good. More. Children. What does the Bible say? 2 children. What? Oh, good one. Like, teach your children. Okay, what about this one? Siblings. Yes, love them. Very good. There's so much more. What about work, when you go to work? Do it with all your might. I'm sorry. I thank you so much for speaking. But when I hear something, I'm going to say that's the one. Okay. How about this one? Yes, bring your children up to the admonition of the Lord. Very good. Neighbors. Love your neighbors again. That's right. Treat each other you want to be what treat each other the way you want to be treated. How about this one? That's the one I looked at. The friends love at all times. Even when you have to say you're doing wrong. Good. Church family. Share what you have. Okay. Love one another. Encourage. How about respect the elder? Yeah. Why not? How about our country? Render to Caesar. What else? Somebody said something over here. Pray for the leaders. Very good. Okay. Very nice. Y'all are doing so great. Resist and flee. Aren't you so proud of yourselves? That was great. It feels so good to be able to remember what the Bible says. In order to walk carefully, though, we need more than knowledge. We need to use that knowledge and do the right thing with that knowledge. That is wisdom. Wisdom also, part two. Wisdom also comes from lived experiences, okay? So we got to open up God's word, we got to study and read and do what it says. Wisdom also comes through lived experiences. All right. We can take the wisdom of God and use it to better ourselves, or we can choose to reject God's will and suffer. In the end, whether we choose to walk in wisdom or not, we all learn what is right. Everyone figures it out in the end, right? Proverbs 6:23, I'm going to get you to help me with this one. There's a drastic contrast. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is? The free gift of God is? Which one do y'all want to do? Let's take the gift, right? All right. There are many examples in the Bible of people who walked carefully in God's wisdom and who learned what is right. This is kind of a weird, I'm just going to throw this at you. I'm going to say these guys, we're going to talk about, just mention Noah and Daniel. But tell me how Noah walked carefully and learned what was right. This is a little tough. Think about it. How did he walk and follow God and learn what was right? What did he do? He built the ark exactly as God told him to do. So he and his family were blessed because of that decision. And I bet he never forgot the moment that God closed the door. Think about it. The rest of his life, he thought, God closed the door. That's awesome. What about Daniel? How did he live right and, I'm sorry, how did he, hold on, walk carefully in God's wisdom and learn what was right? Daniel. He decided to follow God. And it was like the Daniel in the lion's den thing. So he decided he was going to bow to God and not to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, right? So I bet he never forgot, again, the moment when God closed the mouths of the lions. He probably remembered that his whole entire life. So he learned what was right by doing God's will. Of course, there are many examples in the Bible of people who did not walk carefully in God's wisdom, but still learned what was right. Check out this list. Just think, Adam and Eve, yep, ousted out of the garden. Moses didn't get to go to Canaan. King David, his children, Achan, Ananias and Sapphira, right? They did not follow God's wisdom, but guess what? They figured it out. They suffered because they did not follow God's wisdom. Now, what about us? We will learn what is right. The question is, what is our method of learning going to be? Are we going to do the right thing and learn, or are we going to do the wrong thing and learn? All right, now I need a little bit more input. I have a question, so just think about it for a second before you answer. How does working hard at my job help me learn what is right? If I'm working at my job and I'm doing a good job, I'm just doing all the right stuff, how does that help me learn what is right? There could be a million answers, I suppose, but just think about it for a second. If I'm doing what is right in my job, if I'm working hard, how about this? The boss is going to notice what I'm doing and appreciate me, and I might even get a raise out of that. And you might gain the respect of all your coworkers, right? So respect and money, that's all good, right? So you did the right thing, and you learned by following God's wisdom. How does not working hard at my job help me learn what is right? You might lose your job. Very good. And lose respect from your coworkers, correct? And here's another one. Your kids might decide, well, mom doesn't work very hard, so I'm not going to work very hard. And maybe I'll just hang out in the house till I'm 40. Right? So that's not a good deal, right? So work at your job, follow God's wisdom, and you're going to be good. All right, how about these situations? All right, let's talk about some areas in our lives where we may reject God's wisdom and still learn what is right. So we're talking about rejection here. What does it look like? How about submission in marriage? Y'all can speak more than a word this time. So if somebody wants to say, tell me how, if we reject God's word, we still learn what is right. It's basically the bad stuff. So what about submission in marriage? If we don't submit, what? You're not going to be happy. That's right. You're going to suffer, right? Anybody else? The children suffer. That's right. And every day you're going to argue and just be unhappy. So it's all good. Probably should submit because God told us to. How about sexual impurity? If we don't follow God's wisdom within sexual purity, what is the result? Could be. I mean, there's a net thousand things.
Physical death?
Disease? Mm-hmm. How else?
Heartache.
Sorry?
A lot of heartache.
Mm-hmm. Guilt, right? Even if you don't get caught doing anything, you got guilt going on. What else? Anything else?
Divorce.
You lose your spouse. Yeah.
Lack of trust.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. Yes. Very good. Thank you for that. Very, very good. All right. Here's the next one. Here's a big one. If we don't follow God's wisdom, we will learn right is right. But what's going to happen if we suffer with anxiety and worry all the time?
Illness.
It's on my list. Chronically ill. Just unhappy, yeah. You wake up in the morning and go, oh, another day. Right? Okay. Become chronically ill, become emotionally separated from our friends and family. What happens when if you're filled with anxiety, you're probably not going to go out with your friends and enjoy life, right? You're going to go shut yourself up in your room. So.
You don't have energy to help anyone but yourself.
Yes, very good. Very good. And usually don't even help yourself very much. So we need to work on that. Bigger yet, how about this one? What happens if we don't prioritize time with God?
We lose our light.
We lose our light. You're right. It just whoop, gone.
Failure to thrive.
Hmm?
Failure to thrive. We don't grow.
Failure to thrive, we don't grow. That is very good. Anybody else?
We don't get his wisdom.
We don't get his wisdom. That's right. Very good. We get so sidetracked by stuff going on in this world that we stop. What are all the things we are, just kind of the bullet list, what are the things we do? We pray, we stop praying, we stop worshiping, we stop studying our Bibles, we stop loving others, we stop serving, teaching others. There's a whole bunch of stuff that once, if we don't follow God and prioritize our time with God, that stuff's going to start fading away. Mm-hmm. We'll get off the path. Yes, that's right. All right, I got one more for this little section. What about controlling our mouth? It's a big one. It's not bigger than prioritizing time with God, but it's big because I think it's a pretty huge problem for, it's becoming more of a problem for me. And I don't know if it's hormones or age or I'm just, life is happening to me, but And it's more about just, you know, anger. Yes. No. You got that wrong. Now, he actually said in Bible class, you're getting me off track. He said in Bible class Wednesday morning that, you know, one of us in this house has to kind of deal with the other person. And all you people that were there were thinking, oh, it's definitely David. The Heidi's got to deal with David. You are mistaken. You are sorely mistaken. It is me. I am this troubled one. And I'm just telling you the truth. If you had seen my, I'm way getting off track. If you had been in my house the last 3 or 4 weeks when I was working on this, thank you. I'm just going to go with hormones. Okay, tell me about y'all. Okay, if we don't control our mouth, what kind of bad thing, what's going to happen?
Regrets.
Broken relationships.
You're going to have more anxiety and worry.
Oh, more anxiety and worry, yes. Yes, you'll lose your influence. If I start yelling at you after this, I go, oh, I'm not going to hang out with her anymore. She just goes off the handle. Yep, our light's going to go away, just like we talked about. Mm-hmm. That's right. So guess what? What do we do? Don't just read our Bible, because we know what the Bible says, right? Got to practice it. We got to walk it. Okay. All right. So whenever you, whatever you struggle with, let God's wisdom and your lived experiences, good or bad, teach you what is right. All right. Wisdom also comes from others' experiences. Titus 2, 3 through 4, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. They say that twice. So that the word of God will not be dishonored. How many times have you read that scripture? Do we may not be able to quote it, but we know what that scripture says. The older women are commanded to teach the younger women. So it kind of follows, right? That the younger women should listen and learn from the older women's experiences. And I did put on my notes, that was hard to say, we older women, because I don't feel old most of the time, but sometimes I do feel old. But honestly, I am an older woman now, so. But you don't have to listen to me, because there's many older. Is there anyone in this room who could use some help and guidance from an older woman? Raise your hand if you could use some help from an older woman. Okay. So, even if you didn't raise your hand because you don't want to admit it, why do we fight getting that guidance and learning from others' experiences? We know they know more than we do. They want to help us. They're nervous about helping us because we might go, no thank you. But why wouldn't we want help? If we know, pride. What does pride look like? So let's talk about that. You read my notes. We tell ourselves, I'm different. The problem she's having, that's not my problem. I'm not going to have that problem. That's her thing, not my thing. I'm fine. What else? Yes. How about this one? We tell ourselves, I don't want to give up control of my life. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I want to make my own mistakes. And that may not be exactly what you said, but I already know everything. I don't need your help. I'm good. What else? What's that?
The children are the ones that know everything.
Oh, they do. They do know everything until they get to a certain age, right? Yeah. And then they go, so this is what it's like. Now I get it.
Being vulnerable is a weakness. That's what the world thinks.
Yes. What about this one? We tell ourselves, I can't trust anybody. I can't trust you. I can't trust you because if I tell you, then you're going to think there's something wrong with you or me. You're going to judge me. Or you might tell somebody else what my big fat problem is, right? So we're afraid that we're not going to have any trust. There's a lot of stuff, but a lot of it is all pride. And we just gotta give it up. We gotta be okay with learning from other people. Learning from others isn't a weakness. I saw my notes again. It's mercy from God. So I heard a preacher recently, not my husband, say that scars remind you. Let's see if I read. Oh wait, let's go back. Scars remind you. They serve as a reminder of a bad moment in time. I have a scar, right here. 3 stitches on my chin. Car accident when I was 10 years old, 3 little stitches. My dad had 100 stitches. But I remember that every time I go, there's a hair growing out of there right now. Every time I think about my chin, I think about that accident, and I think about my dad. So it's a reminder of, that was a difficult moment in my life, for my dad too. So scars can be physical. We probably all have a scar we can share with each other. But they can also be emotional scars and spiritual scars. So I'm gonna talk about a couple scars. And they're physical, but I really should have, this morning when I was editing, I thought, I need to talk about spiritual scars and not just physical scars, but you get the point. Someone looks at their leg and sees the stitches where they were sewn into their skin, right? You see the scars. Someone sees a family picture of a cousin who was hit by a train at a young age and was killed. That was a bad moment. That happened to me, that my cousin was killed by a train. It might be a song. You hear a song on the radio, we might hear a certain word, a voice, a phrase, just words that bring back a memory. When someone was scared, someone was angry, someone was abused, or someone was grief-stricken. So if you're thinking about all that, or you're thinking about your scar, we all have scars. Physical, emotional, spiritual scars. They're there. And sometimes they just come out. But the reason I say this is because here's the question for those that do not have the scar that you have, the bad memory of something bad happened to you. Would you rather learn from someone else's scars or get your own? Wisdom would say, learn from others' scars. And we're happy to share our scars most of the time. Some scars hurt really bad and you're not gonna just tell anybody. But I have physical scars, I have emotional scars, and I have spiritual scars. And I bet every single person out there has the same things, same kind of scars. So, wisdom would say, learn from someone else's scars. This means we have to ask for help, and this means we have to welcome guidance and sometimes rebuke. So I want to end this with this scripture. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your life or the rest of your days. I was wondering, for the sake of our study, if you would allow me some poetic license on this proverb and just kind of change it up. So this is what I want to leave you with. This is my little proverb. Listen to wise people. Learn what is right by living right. And most of all, listen to God so that you may walk in wisdom the rest of your lives. And that's what I have for you. Thank you very much.